ourselves. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful for being here today, that you have called us together to be your people. And what a special day it is that we get to come and be together and worship you and thank you for being the God who loves us. And so as we approach your word today, Lord, prepare our hearts, our minds to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. So it wasn't too long ago that a Michigan judge was in the news because of a violation in his courtroom. He had a rule there. His name is Judge Raymond Vowett. And for a long time, he's had a policy forbidding any kind of electronic devices in his courtroom. So anytime a phone would go off, there was a fine, and they would confiscate the phone. And over the years, he's had attorneys, witnesses, spectators, police officers, all get their phones taken away from them because they've gone off during a trial. Well, during closing arguments at a trial recently, sure enough, someone's phone starts going off, but it doesn't just go off, it starts talking, and it says, "I can't understand you. Say something like mom." Now, I know what that's like, and some of you were even there. I had a Bible study where I said, "Would anybody like to close us in prayer?" And all of a sudden, Siri pipes up and says, "I'm sorry, I cannot help you with that." Grief. So anyhow, so this phone goes off, say something like mom. Well, it was the judge's phone that went off. He had just gotten a new phone and apparently wasn't real familiar with it. And so this is what he had to say. He says, "I'm guessing I bumped it. It started talking really loud. That's an excuse, but I don't take those excuses from anyone else. I set the bar high because cell phones are a distraction and there is a very serious business going on. The courtroom is a special place in the community and it needs more respect than that." And so during the next break, Judge Vowett held himself in contempt, confiscated his phone, and paid the standard $25 fine that he issues to anybody who does that. He says, "Judges are human. They're not above the rules. I broke the rule, and I have to live by it." You know, and that's a good example of someone who is showing character and integrity. You know, he's doing the right thing there. And that's what we're talking about today. Character and integrity. Those are some pretty important traits that we can have because so much is wrapped up in those traits. It involves trust and honesty and keeping your promises and doing the right thing. There's a lot in those words. And so we're going to be looking at those. Now, before we jump into our Ruth text, I do need to give you some context because if you weren't here last week, this really doesn't make any sense at all. So let me just kind of bring you up to speed. Naomi had her daughter-in-law Ruth get all fancied up and go to Boaz after he had eaten his dinner and drank and was happy and lays down to rest. And she says, "I want you to go in, uncover his feet, and lay down at his feet." That's weird. It doesn't just sound weird, it is weird for us. But as Pastor Steve mentioned last week, in that day, that was seen as a marriage proposal from Ruth to Boaz. Now, Boaz is what we call a guardian redeemer, meaning that he is related to Naomi's deceased husband. And so he has the right to redeem his land. Elimelech was her husband. He can redeem his land, but also with the deal comes this Moabite woman, Ruth. What we did find out, though, is that Boaz is not first in line for this. There is another one. But Boaz promises Naomi and Ruth that if he doesn't redeem Ruth, meaning this other guardian redeemer, Boaz says, "I surely will." Now, what we've seen so far is that Ruth is an amazing woman. She has been faithful to Naomi. She's a hard worker. She's honest. She's referred to as a woman of noble character. That's a great compliment. Chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that Boaz is a prominent man of noble character. And we've seen that from him already. He is protected and provided for Ruth and Naomi. But today, we really get to see his integrity and his character at work. Pretty amazing ways. So we're going to break down this text. There's a lot to look at here, even though there's not a lot of verses. Unfortunately, you don't have a blue sheet. That's my fault because we were gone on a staff retreat this week, and I just didn't have time to do it. So if you want to write on your hand, get all the notes there, that's fine, or your arm, or wherever you want, that's fine. We're going to be looking at, the first thing we're going to look at as far as integrity and character is doing the right thing. That's a big part of what it means to have integrity. So let's look at verses 14 and 15. Per Boaz's instruction to Ruth, Ruth has lay at his feet until morning. Now, to us, that's like, okay, that's cool. But she is doing the very honorable thing here. She didn't try to seduce him or anything inappropriate. In fact, she gets up before sunrise so nobody can recognize her. And then Boaz says, and the text doesn't say this, but it's implied that he's not speaking these words to anybody. He's actually saying them to himself. He says, no one must know that a woman, or some translations even say the woman, came to the threshing floor. Now, why? Well, I think it's the same thing that Ruth is doing. They're both trying to protect not just their own honor, but the others as well. Ruth doesn't want to be seen as dishonorable by, you know, sneaking in to see Boaz and give the impression that maybe she was trying to influence him to be their guardian redeemer. So by doing this, she's really, I think, not only protecting her, but protecting his honor as well. And Boaz doesn't want anyone to think that she would be that kind of woman that would do this. So he's protecting her honor, and he doesn't want to be viewed as someone who could just be lured by the temptations of a woman. The funny thing with all of this is they did nothing inappropriate, okay? It's possible that Ruth and Naomi may not have even known that there was another guardian redeemer in line before they did all of this. Either way, what Ruth did was completely appropriate. And you see, by what they did in that morning, they wanted to give no one any opportunity to even question their integrity or character. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I think it needs to be repeated because it's amazing. Billy Graham, throughout his entire ministry, always had a policy that he would never be alone with any woman besides his wife in public or private. And he made sure his staff committed to that very same thing because same kind of thing. He never wanted to give anyone any opportunity to accuse him of anything. Pastor Steve and I talk about this a lot because we as well have set up boundaries around ourselves and our families to make sure that we don't want to give anyone any reason to question our integrity. So then Boaz fills her shawl with 6 measures of barley. Now, we don't know how much a measure is. There's all sorts of speculation. Some is ridiculous because she would have had to be like a world champion weightlifter to be able to move that around. But it's enough that the text says he places the bundle on her, probably either on her head or on her back. This isn't something she's just like, hey, thanks, and you know, wee, off I go. Now, this would have been a pretty substantial amount. Then she went back to town. Now, if you're reading the text with me, you're thinking, you got that mixed up there, buddy, that says he went back to town. This is one of those little NIV things, our translation, that's a little weird. I'm not a Hebrew guy, but from what I understand, it can be he or she. There's some question there. And every other major translation says she went back into town because that just makes a lot more sense heading into verses 16 through 18. Because Ruth comes home. And Naomi comes out and she says, well, how'd it go? I picture my mother-in-law. I don't know why. And she's going, so how'd it go? And literally what she asks her is, who are you? Okay, now, it's not as though she doesn't recognize who Ruth is. What she's saying basically is, who are you now? is Mrs. Boaz coming in the door now? You know how mothers-in-law are. That's just how they are. Basically, it's like, did the plan work? Now, we have to remember, this is a huge deal. A huge deal. Because if someone steps up as their guardian redeemer, that means a whole new life for them, a new home, new family. So this is a huge deal. So Ruth recounts what happens, and she says, well, Boaz told me, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. That's always good advice, by the way. And why? You know, what is the barley thing all about here? Well, ultimately, Naomi would be considered Ruth's parent. And she would actually have the final say as to whether or not they could get married. She has to give her consent for this to happen. And if Boaz had sent nothing back with Ruth, that would have been his way of saying, I don't want to do this. I refuse this. But he sure doesn't do that. He loads her up and basically is saying, oh, if I can, I would love to marry this woman. Because Boaz is a man of integrity and character. He does the right thing here because, you know what, that's what integrity does. And he fully knows that he may be prevented from actually marrying Ruth if this other guardian redeemer steps up and says, I want to do that. Of course, he'll have to redeem not only the land, but also the lady. And so Boaz, regardless, sends this clear message that says, yes, I will do this if at all possible. And if I can't, keep the barley. You guys will need it. And see, Naomi's response, I think, even more indicates the character of Boaz. Because she tells Ruth, okay, my daughter, wait until you find out what happens with this other guardian redeemer. Because, I love this, this man won't rest until this matter is settled today. Boaz said he would do it, and they knew him enough to know that he was a man of his word. He will do everything in his power to make sure that these women are taken care of. And when we look at this story, at least up until this point, everything that Boaz has done has been above reproach. He has followed the law of guardian redeemer, and he's gone above and beyond that with the kindness and the generosity that he's shown. He does what he says he will do. There's no doubt about it. And so much of our integrity and our character is just that. Do we walk the talk? Are we good to our word? Do we keep our promises? I think keeping promises is a big part of what makes up our integrity, our character. So let's talk about that for a moment. We've seen the integrity of Boaz in keeping his word. He said Naomi has absolutely no doubt. She is certain that he's going to take care of this immediately because she knew him. She knew that's the kind of man he was. And that's the kind of trust that integrity gets you. But I want you to listen to this incredible promise. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Wow, that's quite a promise. And that's just one of many promises concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, very much like Boaz, Boaz followed everything legally. So did Jesus. He came here, he fulfilled the law by being born as a man who lived under the law to be our guardian redeemer. That was his role. Galatians chapter 4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So not only did Jesus fulfill all the promises of Isaiah, but he also did it completely legally. I mean, even if you looked at it from a legal perspective, it was all perfectly done. And all through Scripture, we see God making promises over and over again to Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Abraham, Moses, David, the prophets, the disciples, to us. And he always fulfills them. That's God. Now, you might be sitting here going, well, yeah, no kidding. Of course God has character and integrity. He's perfect. Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But let's look at Jesus. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, well, yeah, he's perfect too. Come on. Yeah, but he was also fully man. So that means he faced the same temptations. In fact, I think he faced far worse temptations than we'll ever face. And yet he maintained a perfect example of integrity. He didn't deceive. He always spoke honestly. His actions fully matched his words. His yes was yes, his no was no. He absolutely lived out what a life of integrity and character looks like. Look at his trial. Even the religious leaders had to falsify charges against him, bring in false witnesses to lie about him to try to convict him. Why? Because they couldn't find anywhere where he slipped up. His integrity was too strong for that. And he had to be that way in order to save us. To fulfill the promises of God, Jesus had to be the perfect human being. See, I can't die for anybody's sins because I have my own sins to deal with. Thankfully, Jesus has taken care of those. And so Jesus had to be fully perfect to be able to take our sins upon himself and die for us. And then, if that wasn't enough, then Jesus also gave us amazing promises. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. I will send the Holy Spirit to live in you, to dwell in you. And he said, I'm coming back. Now that last one, we're still waiting to see. But seeing as how he hasn't dropped the ball on any of his other promises, I'm pretty confident he's coming back. You see, any lapse in his integrity, I think he would have stopped and said, no, there is no way I'm going to do this for these people. No way. Because that's what I would have done. But not Jesus. In him, because of his obedience, his integrity, his character, the promises of God were completed. Paul says in our 2 Corinthians reading, he says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen, the so be it, is spoken by us to the glory of God. And then Jesus kind of ramps the whole thing up and says, and I want you to be like me. And so let me ask you some questions. Are you a person of integrity and character? Now, obviously, Jesus is our greatest example. But as we've seen, even us common folk are capable. Boaz demonstrated these same qualities. Ruth demonstrated these same qualities. But what about you? Would you say you are a person of integrity and character? Would others agree with that assessment? How are you keeping your word? You know, Jesus said we shouldn't ever need to swear by anything. When I was a kid, I don't know why we did this, my brother and I got into the really bad habit of always saying to each other, swear to God. Now, I look back on that now and I feel horrible because I took God's name in vain probably 8 million times as a child. And then we just shortened it to swear. Now, I don't know if my brother and I had like serious trust issues with what the other one was saying, because I don't think we ever believed anything that came out of the other one's mouth. It'd be like, hey, it's sunny outside, swear. It's like, come on. And Jesus says we should be trusted at our yes or no. He says anything else comes from the evil one. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes in his letter, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Very similar words to Jesus. And so is our integrity, is our strength of character so strong that we don't need to say anything more than that to be trusted? Are you willing to do the right thing? Even if it's tough, even if it causes you to sacrifice, I mean real sacrifice, and even if no one will ever know. Boaz didn't call any attention to himself. He simply did the right thing. Even Jesus, as he's dying on the cross, no one understood what was going on. Everybody thought he was a failure at that point. And even though the night before he had prayed that he might not have to endure this suffering, he said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Why? Because it was the right thing to do. It was the God thing to do. You see, friends, we don't have to wonder what a life of character and integrity looks like. You can read all through the scripture and you see people just like us who have great moments and low moments. And we've always got Jesus there to forgive us when we fail. But friends, let me encourage you, if you want to see what this looks like, read the Gospels. Read them carefully and study the life of our Savior. How did he respond? What did he say? Pray that the Holy Spirit would not only guide you, but also encourage you when you do well and convict you when you fail. Read the book of Acts after that. See how the apostles lived this out. Because it seems like, friends, in this world, we of all people should be the most trustworthy, the most honest, the most faithful to our word. We are ambassadors of Christ, and he was all those things, trustworthy, honest, faithful. So take some time today. Don't put this off. Take some time today to think about who you are. If you're really brave, ask others if they see you as a person of integrity and character. And then ask God to help develop these traits in you. And I'll tell you right now, it may hurt a little bit, because God has a certain way of being able to point out those areas where we need help, and he will help us. Because he wants you to look just like Jesus. Let me close with a quote from a well-known Christian, Chuck Swindoll. He says, "Few things are more infectious than a godly lifestyle. The people you rub shoulders with every day need that kind of challenge. Not prudish, not preachy, just crackerjack clean living. Just honest to goodness, bone deep, non-hypocritical integrity." Amen.